Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Do you think that the Cavs have, as they're put together, can compete with Indiana? Can they compete with Oklahoma City? I'd say the answer is yes. Can they beat them in a series? The answer is maybe. The answer, I think the answer needs to be you need to add a couple of more pieces and keep your fingers crossed that you're healthy. And maybe just look and look at the way your roster fits together. I sound like a broken record on this, if anybody remembers what a broken record sounds like these days.
I do. Raises my hand.
Very nice. I don't like the two small ball dominant guards. I don't think that's the way to win an NBA championship. It's the way to win a lot of games. And Darius Garland is a tremendous player, and Donovan Mitchell's even better. Together, I think there's too much of a duplication of skill set. And I don't know that you could get Darius to be more point guard and less scoring guard out of that spot. If you didn't have Donovan there, fine. It's fine. But you have Donovan there. He's clearly the lead guy. And he should be. I think he's a better player than Darius. And because of that, I wouldn't be afraid to bust it up and look for something different, especially after you see Indiana roll out guys 6'5 and bigger. You watch Orlando trade for yet another big guard. If they start Jalen Suggs, they go 6'5 in their backcourt.
Right.
And then 6'9 and 6'10 on the wings, you know, with Wagner and Banchero. So I would not be the least bit adverse to trading Darius in the right deal. Those are the keywords. You don't move him to move him, Daryl.
Right.
But if somebody calls you and offers you the right deal, well, you got to pull the trigger. You got to go for it.
Yeah. And you're about moving off Darius. I'm about moving off Jarrett. And there's a strong case, I think, for both players. Here's the challenge for Kobe Altman this offseason, aside from navigating the whole second apron situation. There is no team that you need to correct for, if that makes sense. There's no singular team. Like, I don't feel like that they need to do a course correction this offseason for the Indiana Pacers, specifically. You're right. I mean, we see that in offseasons all the time, where, like, Golden State, right? Teams would try and get their personnel to match up. So, okay.
There are too many teams in the East that have a chance for the Cavs to try and match up against somebody.
It's way too wide open.
They have to put the best team on the field, on the court that they can, and then go for it. But is the best team two guys who are 6'1 and 6'2 in the backcourt who need the ball?
Right.
That's what Kobe Altman needs to decide. Apparently, so far, he's decided yes, because he put it together. And he's the guy who put it together. He's the guy who won 64 games in the regular season with it. Obviously, they're a really, really good team. But the question is, can they get the ultimate goal with the way that this roster is now built?
Yeah.
Michael is in Avon. Hi, Michael.
Hi, good afternoon, guys. Interesting stuff. I want to make two real quick points, and then I'll tell you my player. I don't think we should do anything in the off season because, like we've talked about, the NBA is two seasons. Let's take the start of the season to the trading deadline to see if we have to move anybody. That's point number one. Point number two is look at how different the team played with the coaching change that we made. was a whole different kind of basketball than we had under Bickerstaff. And Bickerstaff had his success in Detroit. But you take those two elements, what the Cavs are missing is anybody to come off the bench in the front court and give Allen and Mobley a break or play with those two. And I think he's on our G League team. I would see what a half a season with Nicquel instead of Tristan Thompson. I can't think, because I'm on the phone, I can't think of Nicquel's last name.
Tomlin.
But he averaged 20 points a game. And the G League has been good to us. We brought up Craig Porter. We brought up Sam Miller. We've brought
Sam
up
Merrill.
Sam Merrill.
Dean Wade has been time
Wade.
There.
I would like to see what a full preseason's worth of coaching.
Well, Shaq wants to see Imani Bates.
And, well, that's a whole different ballgame. There's your taller guard that can't get it together. But I wouldn't move anybody until we see what our needs are at the trading deadline. Because to blow it up and try to create something different for the sake of, oh, my God, we have to make a change. We're not really going to know if we need to make a change if we give this kid a chance till the trading deadline. And I would sit still for a couple reasons. The other teams in the league at the trading deadline may be in a different position than trading with them now. Somebody's got to do a rebuild. Somebody's tanking. Somebody's doing this, that, and the other thing. You might have a whole different layer of players available based on the standings in the NBA in June.
Well, Kobe's the king of getting in on three-team trades. Like, he's the king of getting in on those and pulling a piece. I mean, that's how they ended up with Jared Allen, right?
DeAndre Hunter as well.
Exactly.
I mean,
so
you made a move to go get DeAndre, who, by the way, I think should start next year.
And I kind of think that might be how they're going to, you know, might be a mechanism for them to shed Isaac Okoro, is you get him involved in a three-team trade to help match some money somewhere or something like that. He's going to have to be creative this offseason, Jeff.
Well, I agree with that. The player that Michael was talking about is Naquan Tomlin. He's a 6'10 forward, was up a little bit, and did average 20 points a game in the G League. Remember one thing. There is a... Though guys go to the G League and improve their games, stars in the G League don't necessarily become stars in the NBA.
Yep.
They don't necessarily become NBA players. Just keep that in mind.
I use the analogy, right, with AAA guys like John Kenzie Noel goes back to AAA. Mm-hmm. His bat starts finding baseballs. Will Williams, same thing. Like AAA pitching, a little different than Major League pitching.
Without question. Lewis is in Shaker. Hey, Lewis.
Oh, Phelps, man, you guys are not going to like what I have to say. Man.
I can't wait to hear it then.
Then hit us with it.
Let me tell you, it's Darius. Darius has to put the team before himself. As Darius goes, this team goes. Darius does not want to accept his role as being Robin. You can tell. I can see it in him. I've seen people like him. I see it in him when him and Mitchell, like, interact on a big play. You can tell he's kind of standoffish. It's Darius. Darius has to mature mentally. He has it. I mean, as far as, like, physically and gift, Darius has it. Darius is a all-star. But Darius does not want to be Robin. Darius wants to be Batman. And he has to put this team before his selfish self. As Darius goes, this team goes. It's not Mitchell, because Mitchell's going to do his thing. As Darius goes, this team goes. And Darius does not want to go. Darius wants to be the man. Everybody can't be the man, Darius. Accept your role and win championships. Don't worry about your selfishness. Accept your role. That's it.
Lewis, thank you very much. Lewis and I have talked about this before, and I've thrown out the idea.
I don't know that I'd call him selfish.
I wouldn't call him selfish either. What I would call him is a guy who was trained and brought along by the Cavaliers to be exactly the kind of guard he is right now. It's not his fault. It's not even fault. The Cavs developed a heck of a guy for a 6'1 guard. He can score. He can pass. He was 12th in the league in assists this last year.
Right.
Maybe you get into the top 5 in assists. And your scoring backs off to 16 a game. And Evan Mobley's goes up to 23.
I mean,
I think you're a better team. You know, Darius averaged 6.7 assists.
Yeah.
What if he averaged 9? You know what I mean? Became more pass first and shoot second. Doesn't mean that things are going to drop off the table. You know, you're not going to become Cameron Payne.
Even Donovan Mitchell, when he scores 40 or more points, you'd be like, oh, that's awesome.
But not, they usually lose.
Not for the Cavaliers.
Right.
They usually lose when Donovan has to do that. Donovan's scoring sweet spot is between around 25 and 38 points in a game. Cavaliers usually win there. When he has to go above that, bad things are happening team-wise, right?
Well, you could look at the playoffs and see that, Dee.
Right.
But guys were injured, so that's going to be the caveat about why he took so many shots in the playoffs. Well, he had to because they were injured. Did he?
We know the backcourt does work together. I sort of agree with you on the size thing and the two small guys in the back.
It's ball dominant guards who have enough duplication of skill set.
Right, but they made it work last year or this past season
in the regular season.
Over 60 wins.
Yeah, okay? They were great.
There were two questions.
They were great.
You asked the Kenny Atkinson, and I asked him the question in his introductory press conference. It's about making the two small guards work and making the two big guys work. And Kenny Atkinson made them both work this year, except for in the playoffs here. But I'm not going to call Darius selfish. I think he gave you everything he could give you in the playoffs, Jeff. He had to have surgery on his big toe.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone was ripping him because he wasn't playing. He had to take a couple games off in that series. And then the day after it was over, he's like, yeah, I had to play with like a metal sleeve in my shoe and all that kind of stuff just so I could get out there and play through the pain and all that. And then it turns out, because I said sarcastically during the series, because this is just the type of mental thing I have.
Mental whack job you are.
Yeah, pretty much. I said, yeah, I can't wait till the offseason comes. We find out that Darius Garland needs to have surgery on his foot.
Oh,
that's, and then guess what happened?
Yeah, it was not a surprise to me either.
No, least surprising news ever.
And let me just reinforce this thought. This isn't about Darius not doing anything.
No.
Darius is a really good player.
Sometimes he does try and do too much.
Well, but who
doesn't?
Show me an NBA guy who doesn't.
Right.
You know, who's that caliber of a player. He's really good. He's really good. And if this team didn't have Donovan Mitchell, I wouldn't move. I wouldn't even think of moving Darius.
100%.
But you have Donovan Mitchell. And I think there's enough duplication of skill set there that it's not about the player. It's about the fit.
Yeah, and see, people look at it as if you're trading Darius, that's a commentary on him as a player.
Oh, no, he's terrific.
And it's not.
It's about the fit.
And the same thing for me when I talk about Jarrett. Just because I feel that if you move Jarrett, that opens more things up for Evan Mobley. You can get another big to replace him that doesn't cost as much. You're not going to get a double-double machine. But I don't know, do you need a double-double machine from your big in this new... firing up 53 pointers per game league.
Yeah,
I don't know that you need to spend $20 million a year on your center.
Maybe it's drifting away from that. Maybe not.
You think so?
No, I don't.
Okay.
More Cavs. If you have some thoughts on this, by all means, join us. And there was a price tag on something else in the NBA that you might find astronomical, and I wonder if it's a sign of what's ahead. It's Baskin and Phillips with Daryl in for Andy.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Game 6, you watch the Indiana Pacers take care of Milwaukee, then the Cavs, then New York, and now in a great series with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Win or lose, this has been a good series for Indiana. Indiana might be the kind of team that can't replicate this next year. Cavs might be the type of team that can't replicate what they did this year, next year. Knicks, maybe the same way. The East is going to be wide open. And I just wonder if you're Kobe Altman, the president of basketball operations, if you're Mike Gansey, local guy, general manager of the team, are you sitting back and thinking, yeah, it was injuries, and we can, you know, we'll get healthier and we can tweak? Or do you look back and think, we were really good and we got the absolute most out of what we had, and to get better, we have to make a big move? And I wonder which is correct. If the big move presents itself, by all means, I think you do it. And if it doesn't present itself, you do not force it. And keep in mind, big move doesn't necessarily have to be this offseason. Big move could be
trade deadline.
Up to the trade deadline.
Keep an eye out on the three-team trade thing. I mean,
the Cavs are good at that.
Yeah, Kobe's really good at getting involved in those type of trades, and it might make his life at least a little easier when trying to maybe move off a guy like Isaac Okoro. Maybe you can't just send him to a team for in a straight-up deal, because as Chris Fedor had, you know, talked to us about last hour, Jeff, you probably have to attach assets to make a team be willing to absorb that contract for a one-dimensional player, and that is, he's a defensive guy. Great defensive player, but his offense is the antithesis of his defense.
His offense makes him unplayable in key moments sometimes in games.
Yeah.
That's not what you need out of a 6'5 guard.
And when he's on the floor, you're playing
four forward.
You're playing 4-on-5 offensive basketball, and you have the four because nobody's paying any attention to him or giving him an ounce of respect because they want him to shoot. Please pass it to Isaac. Let him shoot. He's going to miss. We're going to get the rebound, and let's go to the other side, other end of the floor.
Robert is in University Heights. Hello, Robert. Welcome to the show.
Hello. First-time caller. How you guys doing?
Awesome. Good to have you with us.
I wanted to dispute a little of what the other gentleman said about Darius Garland being selfish.
Shoot.
Darius isn't a selfish player. The last two seasons, unfortunately, he's had some injuries. He only weighs $160. He lost 25 pounds the first season. And this season, he got hurt at the wrong time. But what I will say about Darius is, and I played sports all my life, never in the NBA, but Darius doesn't have that mean streak on the court. He's a happy-go-lucky kind of player. And because he takes every play the same way, he lacks that killer instinct. He also gets hit in the face more than anybody I've ever seen in the NBA.
That is true.
He does. Robert,
when it comes to...
Go ahead.
Now, I was going to say, when it comes to Isaac Okoro, you guys are right on time. Unfortunately, when he's out there, it's five guys defending four for the Cavaliers. And what we need is a big body, 6'9", 6'10 guy to come in that used to be how Tristan Thompson used to play. Unfortunately, he's got diminishing returns now because of his age. But we need a big young man who can come in and play four and be strong. I had take nothing against Jared Allen. I wouldn't get rid of him. I love Evan Mobley. But there's my father used to say, they're a little light in the behind. And so we need somebody who can come in and fill that position.
Robert, thanks for calling for the first time. Don't make it your last, okay?
I appreciate you guys.
There's Robert in University Heights. Jim is in Strongsville. Jim, good afternoon.
Hey, guys. Listen, I think that you need to make these go bold. And I say this way, Jeff, I don't think you can roll it back and say, well, we were injured. Well, we made the same argument last year. Well, we were injured. And that's particularly the reason why Darius Garland's the guy you got to move away from. Darius Garland hasn't been healthy in the playoffs yet. He hasn't been healthy for an entire season yet. And I would package him, whether you package him together or you split them up and trade him separately, him and Jared Allen, I think you could really improve the roster. I know you like Jared. The problem is, when it comes to playoff basketball, Jared brings nothing to the table. I know he had double-doubles, but he also had games. Didn't he have a game where he had, like, no rebounds? that just can't happen with a guy that you're counting on. Is if his big thing is going to be he's going to get rebounds for you and do stuff around the basket, you cannot have a playoff game with him having zero rebounds. So I would move those two guys. I just don't think you can count. I don't think the health argument has any value because, again, you can't. How many times in a row can you say, well, we just weren't healthy before you realize, like, well, I guess we just don't have guys that can stay healthy. So that's why I would move on. I'd bring in some bigger bodies, some more interchangeable bodies, which everybody wants. Do that and build around the two guys that you think are going to be. I mean, we've all said it all along. This team isn't going to take a step forward until Evan Mobley makes a step towards being the best player on this roster. And I think moving Darius for a more distribution-oriented point guard helps develop Evan Mobley into that kind of guy.
Jim, thank you very much. I just think it would be too drastic to move on from Darius and Jarrett. And obviously, I because of the duplication of skill sets with the small ball dominant guards, I'm tired of hearing it too.
you are a broken record.
Well, I said it before Donovan.
Well, you were around when broken records were invented, so it makes sense.
Thank you. I said it before Donovan ever played a second for the Cavs. I didn't like the mix. And though they're very good, I don't like the mix. It's not the player, it's the mix.
Right.
And I don't think you can have enough big guys who can play in the NBA.
Well, like I said, I mean, if you trade Darius, people are going to take it as an indictment of him as a player.
Which
and
is
that,
not
and
the
that's
case.
Not what it is.
Not the case.
Absolutely not.
Oh, he's a tremendous player. Let me tweak things a little bit here, can I?
Sure.
News coming out yesterday that the Buss family that has owned the Los Angeles Lakers forever.
By the way, Winning Time on Max or HBO Max or HBO Cinemax or whatever they're calling that app these days. Phenomenal. It's a great, great. I realize a lot of it's like been dramatized and stuff like that. But Jeff, I got to tell you, man, got me hooked.
Did it?
Like 5 minutes into it, I was hooked. Phenomenal show. Phenomenal. I know the Buss family hates it. I know Magic Johnson hates it. I know, like, all the former Lakers, Phil Jackson hates it. Phenomenal show.
Daryl's a fan, folks. Lakers are being sold. And there's money in this, and who knows exactly how it ends up playing out. The headlines are Lakers to be sold in record-breaking $10 billion deal. That's billion. And, you know, he was Dr. Jerry Buss. He was a dentist. And then got into real estate. And
so to put this in Brook Park Dome terms, you could build 4 Brook Park Domes for what the Los Angeles Lakers are being sold for.
And that is just stunning. This is a basketball team. You
know, yeah.
You think about values of things.
Well, didn't the Celtics sell for 8?
Yeah, you think about football. You know, I do. I think about football teams as having the highest value. Not necessarily the case, but the Lakers are being sold to a holding company, TWG Global. They own the LA Dodgers. They own the LA Sparks.
So basically look for them to defer the salaries for the entire roster like they do with the Dodgers.
Part of the—
Are you allowed to do that in the NBA? I don't think so, but, you know.
Good question. Where's Bobby Bonilla? Part of the ownership group of the English Premier League team, Chelsea.
So what you're saying is they have a lot of fun coupons to spend.
They got a lot of fun. They also own the Billie Jean King Cup tennis tournament and the Cadillac Formula One team. So, you know, it's become the playground of really rich folks.
Yeah,
buy multiple franchises and have some fun with it. And they're going to. The gentleman's last name is Walter. Mark Walter is the guy who's behind the whole thing. And they're going to keep Jeannie Buss in charge, which to me is fascinating. It's like, really? Okay, cool.
That's not the first time that happened
in
sports.
I think it's really cool, though.
It's a continuity thing, I think, too.
Yeah.
She's been running it for years, and it's for the most part, worked. So,
but see, if I'm Jeannie Buss and they offer me that kind of money for my team, I'm selling.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mark Cuban did the same thing in Dallas. The Mavericks were his life.
Yeah.
Boom. You're offering me how much? Thanks. I'm a businessman. Thanks.
Yeah, I don't need to build the new arena. You can go ahead and do that.
It's on you. Good luck. Got all your Vegas money. Go ahead. And these franchises are becoming so
well. You saw
valuable.
What's happening in Tampa Bay with the Rays, right?
Oh yeah.
Only and I say this a little facetiously, but only $1.7 billion with a B dollar valuation for that particular franchise. And for and I hate to drag the Guardians into this, but they have an ownership change that it's going to be
coming down
the pike mm-hmm. here, right? With David Blitzer, once the Dolan family decides that they would like to give up majority ownership of the franchise. I always like to say, you know, the Guardians ownership group, they're millionaires playing in a billionaire's game. And pro sports now, it is a billionaire's club. It's not just the National Football League anymore. It's Major League Baseball. Especially, it has to be Major League Baseball if you want to be able to compete, because there's no cap, there's no floor, and their revenue sharing model. And then, of course, same thing goes with the NBA.
Yeah.
You have to have those owners, not only with the deep pockets, but they also have to be willing to spend. And, like Jimmy Haslam, for all the faults that we have talked about over the years with their ownership of the Browns.
Never heard that writing a check is a problem.
No. They spend. They have spent a lot of money to lose a lot of football games.
Yeah, and they've now bought into the Milwaukee Bucks. They own the Columbus Crew. This is what I'm talking about,
yeah.
where groups are bringing in multiple franchises and going from there. The sale of the Lakers, $10 billion, puts them at least, and who knows what a thing is worth is what somebody's willing to pay for it. And
imagine what the Dallas Cowboys could sell for.
Well, Forbes' list of most valuable sports teams in 2024 had the Cowboys number one at $10.1 billion.
Okay. By the way, Yankee fan is very upset these days at the Steinbrenner family for not continuing to spend outside their minds.
Well, I mean, at some point it gets ridiculous, doesn't it? We'll tell you where the Lakers were on that list and where our teams are. And what it could mean for our teams and sports as we know it, because I mean the value of these things is just becoming so astronomical. Why, if you're a private individual, why would you hold on? Why? Take the money and run. Unless you have more and you can just kick back and have a blast. It's Baskin and Phelps here on the Fan. Daryl's in for
real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Randy. That's Daryl. Michael Markoch is behind the glass for us today. Anthony Alland back taking your phone calls at 216-474-0092. We were talking about the Lakers being sold for $10 billion.
$10 billion fun coupons.
Dollars. And the group that bought them, TWG Global, already a part owner. So, who knows exactly what kind of check they have to write on this? Daryl was mentioning this before our show. They do already own part of the team, so who knows exactly what the check is. But nonetheless, they're writing a big check.
It's off a $10 billion valuation of that franchise.
And they'll be spending some cash, and it's the Lakers. It's one of the premier franchises in all of sports. I always find this one fun. And it's weird to me, Daryl, because some of these teams you would think, yeah, that's a huge, you can understand that. And others, I'm a little surprised at. It's the Forbes list of the most valuable sports teams, and it's from 2024, but it came out at the end of the year. So the new one's not coming out until probably December.
But when Charles Woodson bought into the Browns, he bought into them at the valuation. You know, his, was it 0.01%? Came out to like $5 million that he, you know, bought into.
Imagine that's 0.01% or something like that.
Listen.
$5 million. That tells you how valuable these things are.
Listen, I was told there would be no math today. That was part of the agreement for me to come in today. And here I am sitting here trying to do math. It.
I'm just giving numbers.
I know.
Dallas, according to that Forbes list, the most valuable franchise in sports at $10.1 billion.
That'd be the Cowboys.
Yeah, Cowboys, thank you.
Jerry World.
The second most valuable franchise in Forbes rankings, and this one stuns me.
I'm debating between three teams right now. The Yankees, Dodgers, or Celtics?
No, no, and no.
You're kidding me!
That's what I thought. The Golden State Warriors.
Get out of town.
$8.8 billion.
Well, they did build their own arena in downtown San Francisco, yeah. So that changes things.
Well, I would think so, and it's a great arena. And as a non-architect, I see it sitting right on the bay, just like I see the ballpark in San Francisco where the Guardians are playing.
Or Miami's arenas right on the bay, water. Yeah.
And I keep thinking, how's the thing not sinking? But anyhow, it's not. But the Warriors,
it's a feat of engineering, Jeffrey.
It is. The Warriors were number two, which to me stuns me.
It's called a slurry wall, by the way.
And then here come the teams that you would expect. Ready?
Yeah.
This is 3 through 10. And they're all at least $6.8 billion. 3 through 10, L.A. Rams, New York Yankees, New York Knicks, New England Patriots, New York Giants, L.A. Lakers, New York Jets, San Francisco 49ers.
See, a lot of those teams own their own buildings. They own their own stadiums. So you're going to see the Browns, once Brook Park gets built, you're going to see the value of that team, I think, also explode.
The Browns' value is way down on the list. We'll get to it in a second, but it's way down. It's still worth a lot of money according to this list. But you have a couple of soccer teams that pop in there. You have the Houston Texans, Miami Dolphins, the Commanders, all in the $6 billion range. Celtics at six, is what they said, but they sold.
They sold for eight, and the Commanders sold for over six.
So the new rankings next year will have those two teams higher. Go all the way down to number 30. And that's where you get the Cleveland Browns. They're between the Falcons and the Chargers.
Yeah, $5 billion, right?
$5.15 billion.
Oh, $5.1 billion?
$5.15.
Oh, okay.
Can't forget that five.
That five.
It would set you and me up for life and all of our kids. It's just, it's stunning to me. And, you know, you see things changing a little bit. The family ownership model is hard to find.
It's not
anymore.
Sustainable anymore, well, unless the family is ultra wealthy.
Yeah, Bill Gates could own a team.
Bill Gates doesn't want to own a team.
Exactly right.
Well, Bezos, I mean, the leagues were begging Bezos to buy teams.
By the Commanders.
And, you know, he has resisted.
Yeah, but that's what's...
Maybe Apple can buy a team. Can we get Apple to maybe like buy the Cleveland Guardians or something?
Do you like the idea of family ownership of a team, knowing that this group, the Brown family in Cincinnati, the Haslam family here with the Browns?
Well, the Brown family in Cincinnati is the equivalent of the Dolan family here in Cleveland when it comes to, you know,
I know
the respective sports.
See, that's
millionaires in a billionaire's game, Jeff.
Though the Dolans certainly have issues when it comes to not wanting to operate just with an open checkbook, which, by the way, I've always said, they run a business, they run a team exactly the way I would. Exactly. They don't have Microsoft.
It's an entertainment business, not a charity.
Yeah, I know. And that's why I think they do a great job. I wish that, you know, they had unlimited bank accounts, but they don't. It doesn't mean it's not my team, and it doesn't mean I don't enjoy
it. It's a great experience when you go to the ballpark. The atmosphere in the ballpark is great.
Do you think, though, that family ownership is clearly on its way out?
100%.
I would think if I'm a family that owns it, because you catch a lot of you know what, and the Dolans catch you know, what that they don't deserve, I don't think.
Actually, you know what? I shouldn't say that, and here's why. Because, like, let's look at the Haslam family, right? They are,
but they're expanding. But keep in mind,
I understand that. But
they had a big business behind them.
I understand that. But it is Haslam Sports Group,
right?
It is a family. It's Jimmy.
It's no longer Pilot Flying J. Right, they don't own it anymore.
Right. It's Jimmy and Dee Haslam, and it's J.W. and Whitney Johnson. That is the ownership group of Haslam Sports Group.
And so, Whitney is their daughter.
The yes, daughter. And J.W. is the son-in-law. Yep. And they've, like you mentioned earlier in the show, they've expanded the portfolio. They saved the crew in Columbus. They bought into the Milwaukee Bucks. They basically paid for the Bucks for 25, I think it's 25% of that franchise, what they paid for 100% of the Cleveland Browns, almost.
Isn't that bizarre?
That's insane, but that just shows you how much the values of these teams have just exploded.
Yeah, they're exploding.
And that's why, yes, I'm a proponent of, construction and new stadiums and upgrades and all those type of things, but I'm also a proponent of, the owners now can afford to pick up quite a bit of the tab themselves because you can mortgage your assets, right? If I need new windows in my home, I got to mortgage the house to put the new windows in the home. You know what I mean? I got to borrow the money. I don't have that kind of cash on hand, right? Well, you have these assets that are worth billions of dollars, so why can't you mortgage those assets as a security to get your loans to build your stadiums, your ballparks, your arenas? We see this in California, the ownership groups, and like when you were going down those top team valuations. Those team, like the Rams, they were third, right? LA Rams were third?
Yes.
Okay. They spent over $5 billion in private money there. Kroenke did. Kroenke Land out in Los Angeles.
To build
SoFi Stadium. The Chargers are his tenant, okay? So he profits from that, but he profits from that building as well. Now, it's a massive investment that he put in, and it went way over what he originally imagined he was going to have to put in for it. But that's why the Rams are number three on that list, because they own their own stadium.
And keep this in mind. Stan had money himself as a real estate guy.
He
married a woman named Walton. Walton. Walmart. Yeah. Hey, there we go.
Walmart fortune.
No other Cleveland franchise, by the way, in the top 51 of last year.
Yeah, well, I think the Cavaliers are
Northern Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, the Cavaliers are, I think, the second most valuable franchise amongst the Cleveland teams. And then, obviously, the Guardians are three of three here.
You didn't get to my question. Family ownership. How soon until we almost never see it?
I think it's going to become a rarity. Like, I think that I think like the Haslams, okay? And I'm using them because they're the local Haslams
have taken
right.
a big business, sold it, and then have just right. kind of invested that money into a new business, which is owning sports teams.
Right. And I guess you could say Dan Gilbert because he owns the Cavaliers, so the Gilbert family there. But yeah, the reason he's able is because of
the mortgage
it's
company.
Rock now, right? Everything is Rock
Financial.
It's in his portfolios now, Rock instead of Quicken.
I think that's correct.
So families will be able to retain ownership of sports franchises so long as they are tied to big business.
Yes, and see,
that's the only way.
I agree.
The Dolan family right now, as majority owners of the Guardians, they're not tied to a big multi-billion-dollar nationwide business
anymore.
Which, so that is why they're in the position that they're in, where they're watching their payroll. They took a massive hit with their TV deal, even with MLB TV.
I'm sorry, I thought you were talking about the
No, the I'm talking about the Dolans here in Cleveland.
Right.
They don't have a massive multi-billion dollar big business to fall back on.
And before
the Guardians
anybody says,
are their business.
Before anybody says Cablevision, that was Charles Dolan.
Right.
Brother of Larry.
Everyone confuses that. They confuse the two. There's two branches of the family. There's the New York branch. There's the Cleveland branch. The New York branch is the one, the Knicks, MSG, all that.
James Dolan is cousins with the Dolans who run our franchise.
Exactly. So the only way families are going to be able to sustain individual ownerships of pro sports franchises again, is if there's a multi-billion dollar big business attached to them.
I would agree.
And when you look at the ownerships in sports, you know, that is usually the case. The Haslams, Gilberts of the world, and so on down the line. And then what you're also going to have, Jeff, is conglomerates, right? Even the Washington Commanders, that is now a conglomerate of people. The Tampa Bay Rays, even at $1.7 billion, that's a conglomerate that they're putting together.
You wonder if that's good for the sport, if it's good for the teams. I don't know how more funding can be bad, if you want to know the truth.
You know what I'm surprised by? I am really surprised that the Haslams have not sold 10% of the Cleveland Browns, which they're allowed to do to private equity. Okay, the league made that allow, right? Because that's an easy $500 million. That's for 10% of the team. That's not even remotely in the same area any control or decision-making processes or anything like that.
And it only takes 51% to make all those decisions because that's what Art Modell owned to the Browns.
Right, but you get where I'm coming from.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
just give me your money. There you go. And when we sell, you'll make some money.
And you've seen a couple of teams around the NFL already take that private equity money, and it's been already approved. So,
pretty stunning, isn't it?
Yeah, in the old days, $500 million would get you your own team. And today, $500 million gets you 10% of a team. That is just absolutely insane to me.
That's a little nuts. Guardians have won a couple of games in a row, folks.
Oh,
sit down. They've won a couple of games in a row.
Oh, great. They're back above 500.
Easy. They haven't scored a ton of runs. They haven't needed to. And that kind of makes me think a little bit about the trade deadline coming up.
They haven't needed to score?
Not really.
I can't wait to hear this explanation.
Next on Baskin and Phelps.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.